Hi, I'm Susanna Houston from HSF's Head Office Advisory Team, and welcome to Reporting for Duties. Reporting for Duties is our limited podcast series aiming to provide bite-sized insights on corporate reporting and ESG. In this episode, we have Tim Stutt and Anna Caronio reporting for duty, and our topic for discussion is the governance pillar of the Australian Sustainability Reporting Standards. Before we get into it, though, I would first like to acknowledge the traditional owners of the land from which we are broadcasting today, the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation, and pay my respects to elders both past and present. So, Tim and Anna, what are substantial areas that clients should be aware of under the governance pillar?
So I think one of the key words that comes out of this pillar is actually the word how, because a lot of this is about how is the board and management overseeing climate-related risks and opportunities. And so quite a few of the requirements, there's quite a few of them, and a lot of them say how. So, for example, what reporting is there? How frequent is it?
I do think it is probably one of the bigger differences between TCFD and ASRS and the new climate reporting regime for Australia. There has always been the governance pillar there, but it focused a bit more on who or whether something happened, and the move to how is driving quite a bit more granular disclosure. I sort of sometimes describe it a little bit as the it's only murders in the building type moment, where companies have to pull out their whiteboard and start mapping all of the suspects and all of the different linkages between them, and doing that sort of exercise as to how they are overseeing a lot of this in practice. And I know that there's been some twists and turns when it has come to those exercises. Anna, do you want to share some of those?
So one of the things that we're seeing in some of the gap analysis work that we've been doing is that there is actually quite a lot of disclosure about how climate-related risks are being overseen by both the board and management. But what we're seeing is a little bit more light on is the disclosures around how climate-related opportunities are being overseen and managed. And I think that's probably partly because there's been a historical sort of risk-based lens, and maybe companies aren't as sophisticated in their consideration of opportunities, but opportunities are definitely given sort of equal prominence in the ASRS standards. So it's quite important to start looking at your arrangements, your governance arrangements and charters and those sorts of things, to see what are we saying? Is it focused on risk only? Do we need to expand it to cover opportunities as well? And also looking at the underlying board reporting and papers, and again, are they only focused on risk? How do you give the opportunities an equal lens as well, and giving proper consideration to those climate-related opportunities?
I do feel like one of the complexities too is that the opportunities will often follow a slightly different pathway to the risks. So where the risks, you might have your sustainability committee doing the horizon scanning sort of exercise, you have your audit and risk committee overseeing the risk management of your material risks. Actually, when it comes to opportunities, often they will go from the management team straight to the board, and it is a different pathway. So in framing the disclosures, actually some of that nuance does need to kind of be brought through. There is a sort of reflection in the pillar as well that disclosure is needed in relation to how the governance processes are integrated with respect to strategic decision making. So looking at how climate feeds into things like the investment process, the sort of decision-making process and up to the board is relevant too.
I think what would be quite helpful is almost a mapping exercise of what existing reporting do we have that sort of touches on the topics that are covered by the standards, and seeing, you know, who owns those papers, who owns those reports, Where are they going, which board committee, or is it straight to the board, and kind of getting a bit of the lay of the land of what the existing reporting is, and seeing you know, what areas do we feel like there might need to be some enhancing or some consolidation even?
Just a couple more things, and we'll move into the lightning round as we round out this pillar. A couple more things to be aware of. The governance pillar does have disclosures around how the board oversees the integration of climate-related KPIs into remuneration decisions. So that's another area to be aware of. And then another one, which is very front of mind for different clients, is how skills and competencies in relation to climate are considered by the board. So how the board determines whether or not it has appropriate skills and competencies, and linking that through to board skills matrices potentially, or director questionnaire processes as part of their performance evaluations and things like that. So there is a more articulated process for considering how those skills and competencies are being assessed.
And in most cases, there probably is disclosure that exists in corporate governance statements that can perhaps form the basis of the disclosure that's required in the new sustainability reporting, but it probably needs a bit more of a focus on the climate aspects.
Well, I think if we think about bite-sized insights, it's to think about the how and to let that drive your internal processes in the preparation of the report. Thanks for joining us. This was Tim Stutt, Anna Cronio and Susanna Houston reporting for Duty.
You have been listening to a podcast brought to you by Herbert Smith Freehills. For more episodes, please go to our channel on iTunes, Spotify or SoundCloud, and visit our website, herbertsmithfreehills.com, for more insights relevant to your business.